Back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively post-Christmas, which means that, by the way, I had quorum be, say it for me, then, quorum bietis.
Close, quorum bietis, very good.
Oh, okay. I had three of them left. I picked my wife up from the airport, and I was so excited about this panettone that I picked up down at the Oven Bird, which is shout out. I'm going to gift them to everyone I know next year. You're getting one next year. That's how good it is. And I know you already have Greek desserts. You need some Italian desserts too. So I have three of them still here at the house. So I know it's after Christmas. And I know that, like, when the Ravens perform the way they have over the last month, Dennis, I need something to soothe me. You know what I mean? I need some wise eggnog. I need something to just drown my sorrows, because this has been – I imagine how this would have felt in 2006, you know, from a vested standpoint of where we were in our lives and how much it hurt when we lost to the Colts to have lost four games in a row like this. I mean, it's just it's almost unthinkable that when the – 25 years of Ravens football, what happened to this season and the promise that this season once held?
You know what? We're an entitled, spoiled fan base, and things tend to run in cycles. We've been up for a very long time, but when you lose your eighth cornerback of the season, defensive back, and you've got guys, street free agents on the back end, and the Bengals are just having a field day, having target practice. Look, it is what it is, and they're competing. They're fighting hard, but they're just overmatched. And when Marlon Humphrey got injured, you had to figure, and you had a question: was that the injury that really put this team under to the point where they couldn't really feel the competitive defense? And that's what's happened. The opening drive from the Bengals, they were able to — the defensive line of the Ravens was able to put some pressure on them, but aside from that, Nestor, I mean, there were very few highlights. And, you know, you circle back, you see teams like the Steelers, they lost by 26 to the Kansas City Chiefs. We lose by 20 to the Bengals. And I think the fun part of it is it does set up a bit of a rivalry. You can bet that John Harbaugh was bristling at what happened to that Ravens team at the hands of the Bengals.
Yeah, and I think the professional part of it stinging is one thing, Dennis, but I have a lot of observations.
I saw them on Twitter, and you were right. You were spot on. I mean, about, hey, look, when you live by the sword, you die by the sword, right? When you run up the score on people, if they're in position to do the same thing to you. And I was surprised the Bengals didn't try to score another touchdown. I was actually surprised that they took a knee.
You know, for me, the revelation of all of it on Sunday, and this speaks to Harbaugh, and it speaks really to Eric DaCosta and George Kikinas and Pro Personnel. And I know it's not easy running around with Kevon Seymour and Worley. And, you know, I see these guys running around with their – and I'm like, who – I'm Googling these guys, literally. So yeah. I'm like, who are these people? Because they're all human. You know, I remember when Eugene Daniel came in here in 1996. I remember having Willie Gaston on the show out at Piv's Pub on York Road. You know, his family's commented on the YouTube because he got 5 minutes in the league, right? And this kid from Calvert Hall riding the bench, or maybe he could have handed the ball off in the fourth quarter to say he played in the game, although John doesn't like to give participation trophies, right?
Yep.
But Josh Johnson. Look, man, I sat in the upper deck when my wife was fighting for her life 6 years ago, and I took Thomas Dolby, the famous musician who's lived here in Baltimore for years, does a lot for charity, and I had a ticket. He'd never been to an NFL game. He wanted to go. I took him to a Steelers-Ravens game. That was the Ryan Mallett game. Remember that whole time, right? It was,
yeah.
We had no chance to win. There was no way we could possibly win. But Ryan Mallett, like, was on the team and was around and played preseason and took snaps and ran second team and did all that. What Josh Johnson did on Sunday, I just stand in awe, because I've been around this for 30 years, right? Like, up in it, to see what backup quarterbacks deal with when they come into a game, when things fall apart. The fact that that dude arrives in and can run a practice and a half and go out on the field after being in 13 different organizations, which – That's like a slap at him that he's been in. I mean, that is – it's unbelievable to get picked up by one organization to be their backup quarterback once. But when it keeps happening over and over again, it says that you can come in and throw three touchdowns for the Jets in October and then walk in – And go play well enough, Dennis. He played well enough to give them a chance to win if they didn't have the defensive back issues. They played well enough on offense with him to win. That's unbelievable. Really unbelievable testament to him, the team, pulling it together. Mark Andrews, just – and I don't want to say that in a defeat where they lost by three. I'm not looking – but it really was amazing watching him perform because it was – way better than I ever thought it could have been.
Well, I think what you're saying, Esther, is that the offense performed well enough under his direction to pull out a victory. Unfortunately, he couldn't play defensive back, or maybe he could, but they lost it on the back end. They just couldn't cover those three mercurial Bengals receivers. And for the second time in a row, I mean, Joe Burrow, I believe I saw a stat that was the fourth highest passing total in NFL history, 525 yards through the air. And it was just, it was like watching a train wreck. But you know what? You need to watch those once in a while because it does make you appreciate the times where the team is healthy. And the Bengals were they're extremely healthy, COVID-free. And I tell you what, it was really no surprise to know what happened as the game unveiled.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He will be here and there on Thursday from 3 until 5 and again on Sunday before the next round of this, which will be the Rams. And listen, expectations are low, right? I mean, I was over at El Guapo. My wife got trapped up in New Hampshire for Christmas, came home a day later because of the ice storm. We went over to El Guapo. We went specifically to watch football, like, you know, Sunday night pregame, that sort of thing. And I saw the guy from MSNBC pointing at the Ravens, 30%. I tweeted out the picture. Steve, what's it? The guy from Buffalo, Kornacki, who Moeller always wants to get on the show, talk politics with him, and football, Buffalo, apparently. But percentages and how we're doing it, I'm thinking to myself, what chance do we have of winning these two games? And then I'm thinking, well, Lamar might play, but Lamar might not play. And that becomes like the village intrigue here all week, right? That could we win two games? Could we get help? Could we be headed to Buffalo 2 weeks from now for a playoff game after feeling like, and it certainly felt that way in the third and fourth quarter, it felt like the Ravens season was slipping away. And every time I've said that to Luke here so far, Luke has admonished me and said, hey, man, they could still get in. Stranger things have happened. Lamar comes back in place. And I'm like, who's playing in the secondary? He's like, well, Gentry could be coming back. And I'm like, that's how John's thinking. That's how Eric's thinking. I mean, I guess that's how Dennis is thinking. I guess. But
I am.
Okay. So you think they can make the playoffs?
Got to beat the Rams, right? Got to take care of business against your next opponent, and that would set up really a fantastic season-ending matchup with the Steelers. So, yeah, I'm rooting for the team to win. I think they can win, whether it's Snoop Huntley or Lamar Jackson under center. It certainly gives them a chance, and you got to figure they're going to get some of these players back that are injured and have COVID under the COVID protocol. They should be able to feel a better team theoretically against the Rams.
It's an amazing time where when you wake up on Sunday morning, Josh Johnson starting a quarterback, right? And you're like, who else is out? And then I'm waiting for the next text from WNST brought to you by Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard. And I'm like, I don't know, maybe they'll want another one of these texts. And this is going on everywhere. I mean, and I said to Luke, at some point, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, the playoffs 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, it's ravaged what we've done here this year. And obviously last year it didn't help going up to Pittsburgh and playing Wednesday afternoon football without half of our team. Last weekend they moved Browns games to the point where I was at El Guapo on a Tuesday night at 5 o'clock watching them play, right? I don't know about moving games and moving things around, but certainly it's already an interesting game. It's an interesting league, even when Washington football team guys are punching each other at 9 o'clock at night. But the intrigue of gambling part of it, that's now a huge part of this, right? And on the level, go to the casinos, bet away. but trying to figure out who's actually going to be on the field. Over the next couple of weeks, I would think as COVID really and the Omicron thing starts to take hold here, I have friends at home in the basement quarantined from their wives right now. That's going on in my life. I would think the next couple of weeks, it's going to affect the league. It just is. I mean, not just that it's the Ravens this week, but it's 32 teams and it's hockey teams. Hockey got shut down last week. We're going into a weird spot here, in sort of a tender spot, that these are the big games. These are the important games. And this is a flip of the coin to some degree with this virus.
It really is. And as a huge fan of the NFL and the Baltimore Ravens, I'm going to go to the stadium and try to take in the game against the Rams. I want to see Matthew Stafford. I want to see Aaron Donald and Von Miller. I want to see these stars. I'd hate to go to the stadium, and I can't even tell you who the backup is to Matt Stafford, but I want to see the stars. This is who we're paying our money, our hard-earned money to see. And for me, that's the intrigue. And I want to see if the curtain comes down on the Ravens this season this Sunday, or if they're able to, you know, keep it up for at least one more week.
Dennis Colatzos here. He will be there on Thursday. And what are we going to do when this is done? Like I said to Luke, I'm sitting on tickets this week for the Rams and the Steelers. We've sold off all the tickets. It's a long story about me and my wife and sitting together and being a media member and wearing masks. And they're making the media now, Dennis. If you don't think this is a sham, they're making the media wear masks outside to watch practice from a field and a half away. So that's, like, this is where we're going into this. You know, these are the key, to your point, the key games of the year, right? I mean, the Rams bring all the star power in, Super Bowl aspirations, Matt Stafford, all of that. And we're wondering who gets to post this week. But there still is a part of this for them, for the Ravens, obviously, that a salvageable thing here would be. And I said this to Luke. If they make the playoffs, they're sort of redeemed. You know what I mean? Like, no one right now expects them to be playing the seven seed role at 30% or whatever it is, that they're going to win these two games, get help, and be playing in Buffalo 2 weeks from now, or be playing in Cincinnati or wherever it would be.
Strange things happen all the time, Ness, and this would be fitting for them, for them to be able to back into the playoffs, if you will. But again, they have to take care of business, and around here we'll never say never. You can bet at the castle. Their mindset is they're onto the Rams already. I guarantee you, they were mad after the game against the Bengals, but right now they're focused on the Rams and looking for ways to take them down. And you're right. If they're playing for guys like Calais Campbell and Justin Houston to try to get them into the playoffs, and once they get in, look, that would be a victory. I don't care about the Ravens sliding back on the draft. I think that's a good thing. It's bad culture if you just give up on a season. I know a lot of fans want to hire a top 15 draft pick, but I'm not one of them. I want them to compete to the end. And look, hopefully they can get by the Rams and they play a meaningful game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Thing I talked about immediately in the aftermath with Luke, and you can go check that out at Baltimore Positive as well, is the offseason and the relative uncertainty about so much of it. And Mark Andrews notwithstanding, but Ronnie Stanley in left tackle. You know Villanueva is not the answer. Right side, still question mark. McCary, maybe. Marcus Peters and the investment in him. Then there is the point of all the senior citizens, from Calais Campbell to Brandon Williams, who's certainly now one of those guys as well. Josh Bynes, on and on and on as to what you have. What you do have is you've seen a lot of Brandon Stevens. You've seen a lot of Gentry. You know, you've seen some of these other players play because they've had to play. I think the one thing we're not talking about so much this time last year is wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. We feel like we found some of those now. But this is going to be, I don't want to say a tumultuous offseason, but fraught with a lot of decisions. Not that they're not all made, but last offseason was amazing. It was orchestrated, the draft, the players they picked up, where they felt like they were on Lamar's timeline and his salary cap number, and you know that Stanley would make it back, and then it just all went to hell, like literally, right? The week before the season starts, everything bad started happening with the running back position, and it's going to leave them with a mess here when the season's over. Not just a mess that doesn't end with a parade, because I can be predictive of a lot of things. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl at this point. But either way, they're going to wake up on February 1st and have to put a football team together for next year. And there's a lot more questions than there have been in other years because of the money and the injuries and where these injuries are.
Right. So you mentioned a key point there with the injuries, Nestor. I'm sure that they've been looking at it all along, but they have to look at their practice fields. They have to look at their training methods. What can they do to get these players better prepared so that way they're not tearing ACLs and whatnot during the preseason and early on in the season? How can they keep this team healthy? And again, in sharp contrast, the Bengals have been able to stay hyper-healthy, one of the healthiest teams in the NFL. The Ravens haven't had such fortune, but is it how they're lifting weights, how they're, you know, what they're doing, how they're doing? But they have to examine everything, turn over every rock, because I've never seen a team decimated by injuries as much as this team has this year.
Oh, and then you see the Chiefs, right? You know, you watch them just beat the Steelers around. We're going to have a chance with the Steelers, next week. And for the Chiefs, we'll have another chance this week. We'll watch them play. They look like a championship pedigree team right now, in a way that New England doesn't right now because of the quarterback situation, in a way that the Chargers wake up on whatever side of the bed they wake up on. The Bengals are trying to figure this out. And I spent time last week with Paul Daner, who covers the team for The Athletic, and Dan Hoard, who's their play-by-play announcer, just talking about the emergence of the Bengals and where that confidence level comes for where the Bills were last year, feeling themselves, and now where the Chiefs are, where we were talking 3-4 weeks ago. Oh, everybody's 8-7s. You know, the Ravens were 8-3, but didn't look like an 8-3 team, and they were the one seed, but it felt a little thin, and it was. And the Patriots, how good could they be, and all that. All of a sudden, you know, a couple of these teams in the AFC have emerged. Obviously, Brady's going to be a mess in the NFC, as is Aaron Rodgers. The Cowboys have come on. So as we sort of turn New Year's and get the champagne out of Coons Ford, right, we would look and say, there are a couple pretty good teams here that we maybe didn't see in October, and we maybe back when we thought we were one of them, but these teams are establishing themselves, as are the sort of tired Ben Roethlisberger Steelers, and wherever the Raiders are at this point, and wherever the Ravens are, and the Browns, and these other teams that aren't going to make it up the hill, that have to figure it out in the offseason. There's a couple of teams that look to me to be playing some inspired football right now. Chiefs are doing it without Kelsey.
Well, they are, and look at the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they've gone on a run here, and they can run the ball. They play great defense, and they're very gritty. And don't count out the Tennessee Titans either, Ness. I mean, if they get back Derrick Henry in particular in time for the playoffs, they're going to be a tough out. So the AFC is going to, it's still wide open, but to your point, there's some teams that are rising very, very fast as others are falling. And yeah, the Cowboys are really, really put it to the Washington football team, and their defense is very good. They've been under the radar as they have so much star power on the other side of the ball, but it's going to be a fantastic playoff series. And let's just hope at this point that the Ravens can find a way in it, because we want to watch them in the playoffs, even though they'll be underdogs.
You will not be doomsday on Thursday on the show. You're going to be, because I'm coming on with you Thursday. And if I have to ramp up the positivity to end 2021, look forward to 2020. Be my last segment of the year I'm doing with you. You want me to predict a Raven victory over the Rams this week? Is that what you want me
to do? Absolutely. I'm already there. Look, I don't think there's no optimistic person more than myself when it comes to these things or anything, to be frank with you. But my mindset is, look, they got to show up, and I'm hopefully get a few more pieces back. And this team's going to compete. There's no doubt about that. There's no dog in them. There's no quit in them. I'm proud of them. I'm proud to be a Ravens fan. Look, you're not going to be in the playoffs every year. You're not going to win a Super Bowl every year. We know how rare those things are, but they do show up. They compete. Sometimes you get hot late, sometimes early. They got hot early. They got some breaks early. Gave us some fantastic, memorable football, right? Let's not forget about that. But so I don't have a recency bias with this team, but they're going to put a good product on the field, and I'm confident they're going to show up against the Rams.
Well, and that's what I said to Josh Johnson. I mean, I began this segment, and I began all my thoughts about the game, which was, oh my God, they grabbed the quarterback off the street who gave them a chance to win. And I don't know you could say that about the secondary, right? I mean, you get to the point where you're getting guys off the street and going out there and guarding top notch. I mean, a top notch offense with that Bengals team right now. I mean, it's a team that's threatening all of a sudden, right? And you talk about betting on this. Could have had the Bengals at any odds you wanted back in May, right? Like literally nobody loved the Bengals, right?
Right. There's no doubt about that. And just let's keep in mind the last time these two squads met with, they had a healthier secondary. You had guys back there like Anthony Averett and Marlon Humphrey. They didn't have those. Averett went out early with an injury, and they also lost Tavon Young. So Burrow's lit them up the last time with better players on the back end. Street free agents going up against these receivers and Burrow in that offense. They had no chance in that. They really didn't.
Anything you want to say about the Steelers? Or are you gonna hold that for next week? Because
yeah, look, they're having a tough season as well. But I always go back to organizations, and the Ravens and the Steelers are class organizations, two of the best in all of sports. And in sharp contrast, they're having trouble over there in Cleveland now with Baker Mayfield and the coaching staff and whatnot. And it's the same thing with the Bengals. All the accumulation of talent, all these number one draft picks because they finished in the basement so many years. It does rise up at some point, but I have confidence that Mike Brown, as the owner, will find ways to screw up the organization as he's always had. I mean, it's true. Think about it. They'll flash just like the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? All these, like the Jets, all these horrible organizations will flash once in a while because they're able to collect, top five draft picks for 4 or 5 years in a row. Those players pay dividends at some point, but they can't keep it together.
Well, we'll get on the Steelers next week. I would just say this. While I saw Roethlisberger throwing ducks, and with Mayfield, he's got that harness on his left side. He can't open up and throw the football. So, he's hurt. I mean, it's like watching Peter Boulware that 1 year run around with a sling. And God bless him. He's a gamer. He's making commercials. He wants to win. He wants to bring a championship to Cleveland, the whole deal. But Roethlisberger next week. And this is one thing to think about if you're like me and you're actually sitting on Ravens tickets on your app. I actually have two. They'll be the final two, actually, in my go. That you might want to go sit in them because Ben Roethlisberger, this is going to be the last game of his career, right? And it's going to be in Baltimore. And I would just think he's going to want to play better than he played Sunday.
Yeah,
and I would expect that he will. I mean, I would expect we're gonna have a nut buster here, Steelers Ravens to end the season. Whether there's a sliver of a chance, and they're gonna move the time that because something's gonna be in dispute with 10% of the last wild card because that's the way they write these scripts in New York, Dennis. You know that. So there's. Just mark my words, this Roethlisberger-Raven thing next week will have some impact, and I think in some ways it will be memorable because it's Roethlisberger's last game.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you want to see that? Just for the same reason I went to watch Aaron Rodgers against the Ravens. He's 38 years old. Nothing's guaranteed. He gets hurt, unfortunately, something could happen. He could never play again.
Feels young when you're watching Brady, though, right? Like, watch Aaron Rodgers, you're like, he could do this for 5 more years at 40 million, right?
Well, quick release. He doesn't get hit much. He can certainly do it. But it's a treat to watch these Hall of Fame quarterbacks and players play. And I remember I was there when Ben Roethlisberger got inserted into the game when the Ravens defense knocked out Tommy Maddox. And he
touchdown, Tommy.
Yeah, and you could just tell right away he was going to be the real thing. He threw a couple of picks, but he was never rattled, very poised. I think he threw for like 250 against us in the second half in a losing effort on their part. But I was there in Memorial Stadium in the bleachers when Ben Roethlisberger came into the game. And he never let the reins go after that point. He was always the starting quarterback of the Steelers from that point forward.
Cordell Stewart era, man. We're going back in the day and all that. Roethlisberger sat down and did the show with me when he came out in the draft. The Jacksonville, just 2005 he came out, right?
Yeah.
Five. It was the Jacksonville Super Bowl. And he sat down on my set with Lee Steinberg. And he was just this big sort of doughish cat from Miami of Ohio, had a funny name and, had some vowel issues like that would screw you up on Wheel of Fortune if you were trying to guess. And I have pictures of me sitting with him before he was a Steeler. And I think I even joke with him, like, yeah, you know, maybe just don't be a stealer or whatever. Like, and I have to go back and get the tape of that because I'll find that one. But hey, it's a best of week around here. I wish the purple floodlights were out and we were 11 and whatever the number four would be, whatever you would be at this point. Whatever the Cowboys and all these. Hey, how about the guys punching each other on the? I don't know what the. They don't have a nickname. The Washington
football team. Yeah, yeah. WFTs. That's enough. But yeah, look, it's frustrating. It's frustration. They were down, I think, 49 to whatever the 10 or 6 at that point. And when you're getting your head beat in, they get frustrated on that sideline and on the field. They start arguing. I mean, it's a bad feeling.
Other though, it's a bad.
It's a bad feeling. I mean, but again, it's. Look, guys are frustrated. They're going nowhere, and they're getting their heads caved in. It's a very brutal physical sport. You know that it's, and emotions spill over sometimes.
Yeah, I've had my own emotions spill over.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Will have his emotions spill over Thursday from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday before the Ravens host. The Los Angeles, don't call them St. Louis Rams.
I know. That's
Dennis,
tough.
Take care. You can find Dennis D. Colazzo's show is where to find him out on Twitter. Tell everybody about that. What's going on? End of the year? I mean, you got cars to sell this week, right? Got to do this by what? You got till midnight? Yes?
Yeah, we have cars to sell this week and tax savings galore. People out there, our listeners with small or medium-sized businesses, I think it's called section790.org. They can write off up to $1 million worth of automotive or equipment purchases every year, and so they should check with their accountant. But a lot of our customers take advantage of that tax loophole to purchase vehicles for their companies this time of the year, and this is the busiest week for us for sure.
It's the busiest week of the year, really. The
busiest week of the year with gangbusters.
I didn't know that. I always thought like you have a President's Day or Memorial Day. No, this is it. Okay.
This is our Super Bowl. So yeah, this is everything's got to go, and people look to save money, and they can use the government tax funds to do so. It's a great time to come out and buy.
I'm glad I asked then. I'm glad I asked. Hey, we'll see you on Thursday between 3 and 5. Happy New Year to you. I'll have all positive observations, and I'm gonna figure out how we're going to beat the Rams. I'm going to let John do that, but I will join you on Thursday and be upbeat about beating said Rams. I mean, the Rams, they stole the team from St. Louis. Phooey on the Rams. There. I'm worked up. Dennis Colazzo is over at Coons Ford. He will help sell you a car. Get over there and see him over at Security Boulevard and check him out on Thursday right here at WNST. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, celebrating the holidays and wishing you Happy New Year from BaltimorePositive.com.